Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to just be a part of our broadcast today. There's so much stuff that we're getting done. These last few weeks, I've authorized a couple of upgrades to the IPTV. And just to let you know, that is going to do some great things for our ministry. It's opening up some new doors for us. In fact, Rev Media Network, what you're hearing right now, is going to be broadcasting on two servers. I'm just praying and just making sure it sits well with me. And by the way, our guest on the second segment today is going to be Cam Tribole. I believe that's how you say his name, Tribole. We're going to find out. It could be Tribole or Tribolat. Excuse me about that. I'm still trying to figure it out myself on different things. But from Whitaker House, author of Dead 13 Times. We're going to hear his amazing, amazing life story and what he's up to and how God's using him. And most of all, just going to talk about his heart for the Lord. Okay, that is Cam. He's coming on the second segment. Today, if you hear me sneezing, I apologize. I'll try and keep my sniffling out of the microphone as well. I am looking for my handkerchief right now, and I think it's in my other jacket. I have to wear two jackets today. It's freezing here in Houston. In fact, we had a freeze last night. Didn't know if we were going to even have the show today because they're going to shut down some of the roads. But fortunately, a rain came in that was a warm rain, and it kept the place from freezing, and our temperatures are starting to go up now. I don't know how you are, if you're all warm where you're at in your office or in your house or in your car. Either way, it's just cold. I'm not built for the cold. I like it, but in fact, I think all my kids like it the most, and my wife as well, but I am not built for the cold. I was in Louisville just a few weeks back, actually about a month ago, and it was cold. It was 7 degrees below the temperature that below 0 degrees, and I tell you, I was not built for that. I was not good at that. I found out that I preach better in the heat than I do in the cold. Praise God. I got a good friend, Malcolm Burton, Pastor Malcolm Burton. He said he is built to preach in the cold. He is not built to preach in the heat. And I agree with him. Some of us are just comfortable a certain way in temperature, and some of us aren't. And just joking with you, I've preached really well in the cold as well. And God moved in miracles and moved in tremendous ways when we did it that way. But anyway, back to the upgrades. These are going to be some nice upgrades. I want you to really just think about this. We're going to launch something that I've been trying, that I originally built Rev Media Network to compete with these type of radio programs and radio stations that have their own servers and have their own user IDs and really the Blog Talk, the LA Talk Radio, the different types of music artists that are out there, DJs and people that just want to host a show. I built it for that, but of course, when I built it, I'm no IT. Praise God, I'm not going to be the one that's going to be able to give you something that's going to look great like one of these guys. In fact, in the early years, 2009, I was building all the stuff myself, and still I put it together, put the website together. I tell you, faith has a way of finding its way through eventually. Amen. It has a way of coming forward, and I'm excited about this. In fact, my spirit's been soaring since I authorized the changes, and this is just before the NRB. I went ahead and paid the deposit. Remember the week of the NRB, the week before the NRB, I told you that on the radio that we had this stuff put together. We had an invoice that we had to put down, $3,000 down. And I'm going to tell you again right now, everything we've done together on this radio station, on the TV station, has been by faith. We don't have any givers that give monthly on a regular basis on the radio side or the TV side. Now, we have ministries that do send gifts in for broadcasting with us, and that's kind of like, that's great, but it's not a guaranteed dollar amount monthly. And so everything's done by faith, and it's done by just trusting God. Now, this new platform is going to be awesome. It's going to cost a little bit more than I expected on the monthly side, but God is faithful. I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to figure out, does God want me to do this? You know, we have to make sure we're in the will of God. If you're in the will of God, then there's provision. There has to be a steady growth. And I think over the last year and a half, we grew steadily. And the finances that are coming in are going to be able to pay for everything, but at least some things aside that I normally pay outside of it, basically myself. I won't be able to pay myself with the current giving that we have. Outside of running the station will run fine. But God has a plan, and I hope I didn't just go crazy on you. Let me check my monitors. I hope I didn't just go loud in your ear, which I did. Did I go loud? It looks like I did. Let me make sure that you're getting all this. Praise God. I forgot to check one thing, but we're running. We're up in the air. We're going. We're good. Praise God. That's a good thing. And I tell you, I am excited about it because there's one thing that I always wanted to, and it was something I started years ago. And that was to create a platform for you to broadcast on, but to give you a place that you can actually do just radio. And there's thousands of radio people. For every 1,000 film people that I got, or television people, or people that stream live, every 1,000 that have their own blog on the television, there's 10,000 that do it just on radio. It's so much easier to walk into my radio studio and just turn on the stuff. It's so much easier. It's so much easier just to come in here and knock it out. There's no difference. I can come in my jeans. I can come in shorts. I can just turn on the system. And as long as I have internet, I am broadcasting. As long as I have internet, I am giving you the word of God. I have my guests come on. They're through the phone line as well. So all of it's easy compared to everything else. All of it is easy compared to television. So there's many more that can do television that can't do, that do radio that don't do television. There's many of them. And I am going to be able to bring you to a few of them. So this is the idea that I have. This is the idea that I'm thinking. The idea that I'm putting together is every time that I'm trying to figure out, does God want me to do this? Does he want me to stretch my faith? Come on, people. Who am I talking to? Does God want you to stretch your faith? And I have to look back. I have to look back at times when I've stretched my faith and look at the times. And I think all of us will agree that there are times that our faith stretched. Times that we put our mind and our heart out there, and we're just excited to do the will of God. And we didn't know God was going to do something big. We didn't know God was going to make something happen. We didn't know that if we're going to do this, that God would answer. But we put our faith out there. How many have put their faith out there? How many of us have put our faith out there, and we just didn't get what we needed, and we fell flat on our face, and we're discouraged? And we just didn't get what we needed. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. How many of us have stretched our faith, have really pushed ourselves, and became disappointed? Well, the moment I thought of pushing this thing forward, and there's two servers I have to turn on. Right now we run server, and it's not a dedicated server. It's a shared server, so there's some limitations to it. That's why sometimes you have a little bit of buffering before the video plays, and sometimes while the video plays, there's a little buffer here and there. That's because it's a shared server, shared time on there, and it was the cheapest way to go to start the IPTV, and I just wanted it. Now, look at the things that are possible. Yes, it's possible that in a few months, this thing will be kicking so good that people are signing up and are donating to broadcast with us. I can see that. But right now, I have to decide, Do I launch the second platform? We're going to be running dual platforms. One platform is going to be a dedicated internet television, which we have right now. but it's going to give a stronger response. It's going to be available to everything from iPhone to iPad. Let me tell you what I did the other day. And now I'm sounding like an infomercial. Forgive me if I sound like an infomercial. Let me tell you what I'm going to give. Not one, but two. No. I was able to stream with an iPod. No, not iPad. Scratch that. With an iPhone, an iPad, and an Android phone to my system. That's just a taste of what it's going to do. I didn't even know that we could do this capability. And when I was at the NRB, I would have been out there walking the floor streaming video. Live. To my servers of what's going on at the convention. Did not know that. I could just use my phone and walk around. But it works. The clarity is good. And we were able to touch a new thing, a new breakthrough for something that's going to be grand and big. So that is what the IPTV is. It's going to go further because we're just giving our list of Roku stuff. So now we're going to be on a platform that over 4 million people have this device and be into 4 million homes overnight. So this is what we're doing. This is how we're working. This is what we are offering to people that join us. Now, the Roku is going to start slowly. It's just going to be my stuff, and that's it for now, because there's a cost to it to transcode all the things. And then as soon as we start getting more people signing up, then we're going to open that up for everyone else. So we're opening up the iPhone and the iPad broadcasting and playing on those devices to everyone. There's no difference on that, but the Roku, we're going to hold back just a little bit until I can get some more revenue coming in, then I can upgrade it to a bigger package, to where finances are not a question, and to keep it running strong. It's really just another $500 a month that comes in to help that. So there's going to be some timely things that we're going to launch. And the two things that were going to be free may have a little extra cost, and it's just going to be extra $25 on each of them probably. But the radio itself is going to be a whole new platform. A whole new platform that you're going to be able to log in. You're going to have your own radio station. Just like I have my station here and I broadcast to you, I am creating, by faith, hundreds of Christian radio stations on this network. And it's going to be RevMediaRadio.com. That's RevMediaRadio.com. And it's going to launch in a couple of weeks. We're doing a soft launch, then we're going to really push it once we get to learning and stuff. I've already notified most of my broadcasters, if not all of them, about the change. Currently, if you've been listening to Shirley and Mary that broadcast on there and a couple others, I can't remember all the names right away, but if you're still listening to some radio broadcasts, they will not be on the next 2 weeks because we're changing over. We're going to cut off the server that we have now, and then we're going to just go straight to the new one. And the way you're hearing me today and hearing the broadcast, we may keep that running. We're still debating because that's another few hundred dollars that we could move over. That's another few hundred dollars that could help towards the cost. Basically, my cost is going up. It's going to double what I usually pay monthly. Plus, we're paying off the balance of what we have. So, basically, the funds that are coming in now are going to be there to pay that. So, back to pushing your faith. Do you stand still? Do you stand firm? Do you push yourself further? Do you push yourself further? I have to just tell you by experience. I was selling houses back in 2004, 2003, 2005, and I had some great, great years. 2006, not as great, but 2005 was really great. And I was selling these houses, and they were selling really strong. And I got into radio ministry, and a lot of my funds that I made selling houses, which could have been used for the house and used for other things, were going to the radio program and paying bills all over the place. And I gladly gave to the Lord. I gladly gave to the Lord with no reservation. But there came a time when the sales weren't hitting, and I started to lose a little bit of stations here and lose a little bit of stations there, to where I couldn't even go on the air for much longer, and it just kind of dissipated. It didn't work anymore, and I look back at that every time. I there's always going to be something you're going to look back at, and you're going to try and measure what you're doing today against that. But that was a different time, a different place. So I have to put myself into a part of my belief in God that we're not that far off on the budget. It's just going to take some faith to get us to the next part. And that is part of growing. It's not going to overwhelm us, but it is going to be a startup cost that's a cost that's going to continue for a few months until we get it balanced out. Now, do you have the faith to push that further? Do you have the faith to make it go? Yes. Yes. The things that are stronger this year than the last few years is that it's been easier in my ministry to bring in a blessing when I need it. It hadn't been hard to bring in the funds that we needed to get this down payment, and we didn't know where it was going to come from. It came through. But there is some other things that I have to factor in. I don't get paid a regular paycheck like a lot of people do. This is all by faith. This is all by just walking things out. There's nothing in here that's guaranteed but by God's faith that I have in Him. So I have to look back at what we have to do and where we have to be in the next few months and trust that God is in this. So I've been deciding. I haven't answered them back on when to turn on the radio. I hadn't answered them back on when to change our servers over. But I really believe that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. Can you say it again? That I know that this is time. It is the time to strike this now. I just came off a great NRB. Had Miles Monroe on the show with me, and he did a great, great. I have to get his audio on that. But he did a great, great promo for us. Reinhard Bonnke did a great, great promo for us. I might play that in a little bit and put that in the mixture of our advertisements that we do. Our ministry moments that we have. Let's just call them ministry moments that we have. They're not really advertisements, but do you have it in you to believe? And there's some impossible things you have to believe for. Praise God. There's some practical things that you have to believe for. And then there's some things you just got to stretch yourself just a little and trust that during that time of stretching, faith will bring in what you need and there will be no issues. That is what I'm believing. That is where I'm at. And sometimes, hey, my friends, it may not help you a lot, but it helps me a lot when I talk to you about things I'm thinking and where to go in faith. We're gonna launch this TV, relaunch the TV with all these new upgrades. And I believe that God's going to bless. I believe God's going to bless. There's no doubt in my heart that He's going to give us what we need for the broadcasting. For the broadcasting. There's no doubt in my heart, in my spirit, that He is in this. Slowly but surely, we're going to get these upgrades paid off. And we're just going to believe God. There's several things out there that are going to happen for us that are going to bring some miracle money in to do even bigger things. So there's still another level that we need to go to on this broadcast. And this is just the beginning. This gets us to where we can compete. The next thing I want is going to be the HD Wave. And that's going to really change things. It's going to be able to turn on a computer and plug your cameras in and hear our old switchers inside the software in the system when you log in. Save you thousands of dollars. Save churches thousands of dollars using this. So we're just going to believe God for that. We're going to believe God for that as well. And we're really excited just to get the Roku off, because that at least gets us out there. Maybe get some people that really want to be a blessing to the broadcast and help support these things that we do. So these are things that are happening. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Our email address is david@revmedianetwork.com. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Our 800 number is 888-642-4767. You know, I didn't even have a cold until I sat down in this room and my nose started to run. I need to work on some heaters inside my station. It's crazy. I wasn't even sniffling. I wasn't even sneezing until I hit start on the broadcaster. Can you believe that? And I rebuke you, enemy of cold. And we're just going to trust God that He's going to have some great things for us, that the things that we require and need are going to be brought forward, and we don't ever have to worry that His hand is on us. It's a bit challenging. It is. But I'm at a point in my faith. Now, let you know this. I am at a point in my faith where I am becoming rabid. Let me say that again. I am at a point in my faith where I am becoming rabid. In other words, I just want to go and do the Word of God. I want to do the will of God. And I want what I need to do it. There's a point in your faith where you just lock in and you get rabid. You get crazy in prayer. You get crazy in the things that you do. You believe God for the impossible. You reach out and touch the people that need it with whatever you can. It's about putting it all on the table, and it's about trusting God that He can make it happen. It's not about what you have and what you have not. It's about what God has and what God can bring forward into any situation. Praise God. I really believe that was for someone out there, that it's time to get rabid about the work and will of God. That it's no longer time to play. No longer time to just look at life and see it go by. No longer time for life to just bump you here and there and get you're happy just for a few things that happen for you in faith. God wants us to have exceedingly, abundantly more every day. He wants us to have the good walk of faith. He wants us to walk the faith that God has, that He has given us, and that He's making things happen. Hey, my radio voice is back. Praise God. It's been freezing in here. I didn't know if I was going to get my radio voice back. Hello, everybody. It's my radio voice. Anyway, God is doing some great things, and we're excited to have the work that we're doing. Looking forward to this great year, our first year with Whitaker, redoing some of our books, and then my launch of Igniter of Faith. It's coming along slowly. It is nothing on anyone's part but mine. I only got 6 chapters done. I got to knock out a few more chapters, and then I'm done. I'm not going to try and make this huge, thick book. I just don't write those huge, thick books. I just can't, and I don't know why, but I can knock out 100 pages easy, and 120 maybe. So this may be one of my best books, but my smallest books. It's about miracles and faith, and I believe people are going to be blessed. Please visit Whitaker House at whitakerhouse.com and see the good things that God is doing out there with the authors that we had. I interviewed several people at the NRB this past year. And this past week, and I got to tell you, there are some new ones. I interviewed Oral Roberts University President, Dr. Wilson, William Wilson, Billy Wilson, and I interviewed him for about 10 minutes. Interviewed Ryan Dobson now with Family Talk and with his dad. He's talked to me about what his dad is doing, Dr. James Dobson, and how he grew up a man of God and in the house of the Dobsons. So there needs to be a series called The Dobsons. But had some great time with him as well, talking to him and Miles Monroe, of course, the highlight of my whole conference there. And then just meeting old friends out there that of Watchman Broadcasting, was able to see Dorothy and Chris, and able to meet a new friend from Israel. And it was a good time. Able to see Shirley and Cruiser. And I tell you, Shirley Mitchell and Cruiser, they're good friends of mine. They broadcast on our station, so able to see them as well. And I'm looking forward to doing more things. Was at Whitaker House's booth and visiting with them as well. And visited WATC 57 at WATC 57 in Atlanta. Was able to visit with them as well. And Licensed to Parent. So there's so many friends that I was able to see in Kingdom, one of our good friends and partners in broadcasting. And we just really were able to meet and see a lot of people that we normally don't get to see. So I mean, normally don't get to see yearly, I mean, monthly, but we got to see them. You know, we see them here at the conference. Sometimes we see them at the ICRS. So it was really good. Anyway, my friends, I am just babbling, blah, blah. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with our guest, and hopefully just about 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to take a short break, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. So we'll be right back as soon as I get this playlist running. Where's the playlist? Okay, there we go.
Trace Embry.
I hear many well-respected parenting experts exhorting parents to allow their kids to make more decisions for themselves, thinking that any mistakes they make will simply be lessons learned. We certainly want our kids to make good decisions for themselves and learn from their mistakes. But there's a point when prudence must prevail because some of the liberties being suggested have potential consequences where the stakes are just too high. For instance, regardless of how well I think I've raised my teen, allowing him to attend a party knowing there's underage drinking going on is at the very least sending him the wrong message. And allowing my daughter to go on an unchaperoned date in this toxic culture is just plain insane. I'll risk being labeled an overprotective father before I'll risk being a bereaved father or an unexpected grandfather. But I won't risk my child's future. There are some lessons better learned after leaving home.
Subscribe and receive updates from Trace Embry directly in your email inbox. Go to licensedtoparent.org. Licensedtoparent.org.
Are you basically a good person? If you said yes to that question, it's clear that you've not been convinced of what Jesus said he would convince. He said the Holy Spirit would convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Have you ever been convinced that you're basically a bad person and in danger of God's judgment? The great preacher George Whitefield said, "Before you can speak peace to your heart, you must be made to see, feel, and weep over your actual transgressions against the law of God." Did you ever see that God's wrath might justly fall upon you? You must not only be troubled for the sins of your life and the sin of your nature, but also for the sins of your very best duties and performances. Before you can have peace with God, you must be brought to see that God may justly damn you for the very best prayer you ever put up. The Bible says the only way to have peace with God is to confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior and be born again. ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.org at 7401 North Ware Road, just south of 5 Mile Line.
Maybe you would agree with me. If the truth of Jesus showed up in a Time magazine article, I believe it would transform lives. But what about when it shows up in the Quran, the Muslim holy book? I'm Perry LaHaye with Cast Yourself In. Khalil, a passionate Muslim from Egypt, decided to prove Christians wrong once and for all. He turned to his holy book. He listed all God's attributes from the Quran. Creator, healer, provider, the only one who can raise the dead, the only one to perform miracles, and the perfect judge. To his shock, he found the Quran giving the same attributes to Jesus. In that moment, he realized that Jesus and God are one. The weight of the truth came crashing down on him, leaving him broken. That night, in his brokenness, Jesus came to him in a dream saying, "I'm the one you're searching for." That morning, Khalil woke, a new man in Christ. Jesus is moving in the Muslim world, and he's calling you to join him there. Cast yourself in at frontiers.org.
You may think our brains deteriorate with age, but new research shows that as brains get older, they actually work more efficiently. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back with new research on how aging makes the mind sharper after this.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
It's a widely held notion that the older people get, the more doddering they become. But new research shows that even as our brains age, they can actually become more efficient. Scientists asked two groups of volunteers, one age 18 to 35 and the other 55 to 75, to associate different words with given topics. At one point, they told everyone they'd made a mistake. When that happened, the younger group's brains lit up and lost focus, but the older group's brains didn't even flinch, and they stayed focused on solving the next task. The moral? There's something to be said for experience. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Welcome back to the show. We have our guest with us, Mr. Cam Tribulet. How are you doing, Cam?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, man, we're excited to have you. And we know that you have a great testimony and everything, but just tell us a little bit about yourself right now.
Well, right now I am a fire sprinkler engineer, father of two, just graduated from college again at the age of 50, busy with work. Working kids—that's my life.
Hey, sounds like me too. Cam has written a book called "Dead 13 Times," and before we jump into the book, Cam, I want you just to tell us just a little bit about yourself before your accident, and then also just tell us how it changed your life and how you came to God.
Sure. My life started pretty early in life. I was probably about the age of 8 and 10 years old range. Got addicted to alcohol pretty easily. My parents back then owned 2 taverns, so my connection to alcohol was pretty easy. We'd go in there every Sunday and clean up, and that was my time to sample all the drinks. And that just got worse as I got older. My dependency got even more and more on the alcohol. I'd say about the age of 14 range is where it really got bad, and moved into drugs. You know, alcohol just wasn't enough, so I moved into the drug scene and, you know, started sampling with marijuana and hash, and that led to pills, and just kept getting worse and worse. Really about the age of 18 to 23 is when it really starts spiraling downhill with my addiction to cocaine and alcohol. It was, for me, it was a daily occurrence.
That's amazing. So how old were you when you started to realize that you're going downhill big time?
Well, I knew I was going downhill pretty bad when I was about 21, 22, when my life was all about the evening scene. It was all about getting out every night and partying. And at the age of 23, that's when everything kind of came crashing down around me. I was, my goal that night was to head for Last Call. I had my favorite spot, and I wanted to get there. And I stopped at home, grabbed some beer, and I headed back off in my truck. And I got too far down the road, really, and pulled up to a stoplight. And some guys pulled up next to me, and they were just, you know, eyeballing me. So I just, kind of, you know, give the how do you do head shake, you know, how you doing? And the guy in the back seat got out, so I rolled down my window to see what he wanted, and he hauled off and punched me right in the face. And all I remember is getting out of my truck, because I'm 23, I'm drunk, I think I can take on the world, and what had happened, and like my memory stops about the time I opened my truck door. What had happened was we did get in a fight, and the guy shot me 3 times in the stomach. Yeah.
Wow.
What the cops pieced back together again for me was that I ended up getting back in my truck. I took off, but I crashed just on the other side of the road from loss of blood. One of the bullets went through the aorta. One went through my bowel, and one went through my intestines and lodged near my spine. So I lost consciousness pretty quick.
Yeah, I bet. A lot of blood, too.
Yeah.
So what do you remember just from getting out of the vehicle, and that was it?
That's it. I just remember reaching for my truck door, and I woke up weeks later in the hospital.
Wow. And then what happened when you woke up at the hospital?
Well, during that 2 weeks I was in a coma, my body went into complete shutdown. The aorta was repaired, but from the infection from the bowel being opened up, it just attacked the graft that they put in for the aorta, so they put a new one in, and it goes from my neck down. It's right around the outside of my body, the feet, both legs. But the infections really took over. Gangrene had set in, and I had lost both legs above the knees. The infections basically just tore up my body. Had full kidney shut down, liver shut down. I was on trach, I was on full life support. I had a pacemaker installed. Doctors and family told me that they brought me back to life over 13 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was one night, and I remember this night because I can hear them. As I'm in a coma, I can hear people in my room crying and shaking me and yelling in my ear. But they told my parents one of those evenings that, you know, Cam was just not going to make it. Nobody lives through that much trauma, and we're going to lose them because everything's shut down. And that night, all of a sudden, kidneys kicked in, and that's all it took. It was just enough to start, you know, my body start, you know, getting rid of those poisons from the infections and start to finally get back together again.
Hmm. Now, during those 13 times, did you see anything inside? I mean, did you see heaven? Did you go anywhere?
Yes, I did. What's funny is I got kind of premises with my life before that. We didn't believe in Christ, my family. It's nothing that Jesus Christ wasn't spoken in our house unless it was followed with a bunch of expletives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my dad, to the day he died, he resisted Christ. It's just not how our family was raised. We didn't go to church. So for me to have these visions was something I was told by my father to dismiss. And one of them was, clearly, I'm out of my bed, flipped over and looking at myself in the bed as they're working on me, trying to bring me back. Another vision is, as I'm laying in my bed, you know, the ICU is all glass doors, and as I'm laying there, I can see the heart monitor, or the numbers on the monitors, start going down, and I hear alarms going off. And at that moment, my bed starts shooting backwards. And I can hear people behind me saying, Cam, how you been? What you been up to? Hey, come over here. You know, just that all that friendly banter. And as I'm looking through the glass, I can see people running from the nurse's station into my room. But as they're running, my bed is also shooting backwards. So there's a constant backward motion with people running forward. And then just all of a sudden, I mean, the brakes were put on, and I wake up, and there's people working over on top of me.
Mm.
I had several others where I was trying to be forced into a tube of light. And I remember fighting back with all I could to get out of that light and popped out. But the one that really, to this day, gives me chills was, I'm in ICU. I'm at a Catholic hospital here in Indiana. And above the door is Jesus on a crucifix. And as I'm laying there looking at Jesus on the cross, he comes down off the cross and comes to the foot of my bed. Now, to describe what I'm seeing, it wasn't like I could see his face, but I could see his very creamy white flowing robe, almost blurred. But that of all the times I was had the out of body or had the tube of light and all those other experiences, I fought that. But this time, I didn't fight. I was welcoming what I'm seeing to my bed. And as he starts getting closer and closer, he starts becoming more clear and clear. And then about in the middle of my bed, as he's coming up to me, that vision of Christ turned into a hideous monster with what I couldn't see a face before. Now I could clearly see a face. I could clearly see the eyes. I could see the mouth. I could see the nose, everything. The colors went from like a blurred white to very dark, like a burnt red color face, and he's right in front of me. And I just closed my eyes and kept saying over and over again, please turn back into Jesus, please turn back into Jesus.
I bet.
And I looked up, and he's not in the middle of my bed again. Now he's at the head of my bed. He's looking right at me. And I look right into those eyes, and I'm telling myself, please turn back into Jesus. Please turn back into Jesus. I kept looking at him, and finally, he started walking backwards, took the form of Christ again, and went up on the crucifix.
Hmm. That's amazing. So what did you think about that one?
Well, I had a trach in at the time, so I couldn't talk to anybody, but... Pardon me?
Wow.
So I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell anybody what had happened. So as soon as the trach came out, you know, weeks later, I was finally able to tell people what I was seeing. And everybody, except for a few select people, my aunt and uncle was one of them, but everybody else was just kind of discounted.
Mm.
My dad told me I was dreaming or I was high on morphine or, you know, just he would not let me think to myself that was Christ coming to save me that day.
Wow. Now, anyone in your immediate family, were they saved?
No. No.
That's amazing. God can touch anyone he wants to because he's God. He can reach out and touch a person that family. It doesn't matter if their family's saved. If he wants to touch someone, he's going to touch someone. Amen. So only a couple of people believed it and received it for what it was?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
After that, you know, even I kind of dismissed it. I'm thinking, well, maybe my dad is right. Maybe these others are right. Maybe that wasn't Christ. Maybe I was dreaming. Maybe, you know, all these visions go through your head like, okay, maybe I am wrong because I didn't know any better. I didn't know the difference between what I see and what I didn't see. So I went, I was 23 at the time, I went another 17 years of my life still denying that that was Christ. It wasn't until I was 40, finally 40 years old, that I finally accepted Christ and brought him into my life.
Wow. That's a long time. Wow.
That's a long time. But I look back on those 17 years of how he has blessed me constantly and constantly and constantly and has guided me in certain directions of my life. And all the time I'm thinking, it's coincidence. When I accepted Christ at 40, I look back, I'm like, oh my heavens, look what he has done for me. And I didn't know it until now. Now that I'm a believer and see it, I can see how all the pieces fit together.
Now tell us about those 17 years. I mean, you went through recovery, you had some addiction as well, and you got married. All this time that's happening, what was your mental state as far as, I mean, were you just believing that you're going to make it through it, or was there times where you just didn't want to do it anymore?
I say when I came out of coma, and I'm still nice to you. I'm feeling better. I was engaged to be married at that time. And my fiancée came in to see me. I still had the trach in. I was still doing very bad. I was still on, you know, all these machines and being tube-fed. And I remember her coming into my room. I'm already feeling less of a man. Came in my room and took off her ring and laid it on the table next to me and said, I'm sorry, but I don't think I can marry a man with no legs.
Wow.
And simple and straight as that, and she turned around and walked out of my life. And that was that moment where it hit me that, you know, I've got nothing. I've lost my legs. I've lost my job. My fiance has left me. I lost my house. My insurance dropped me. I was declared indigent. I was put on welfare. And it was at that moment where I thought, you know, my self-esteem is, I feel like nothing. And I had planned that once I got out of the hospital that I would end it all because I didn't think there was anything left to live for. But you know what? 8 months in the hospital, I was there for 8 months. And 8 months changes a man. At the end of that 8 months, it was time for me to start therapy. And, yeah, I'd been on my back for months. I had bed sores. I had bald spot in my head. And their goal that day was to get me used to sitting up again. So they brought me to therapy, hoses and everything still attached. They slid me onto this contraption called tilt table. And they strapped me down. And they told me that, you know, we're going to start bringing you up. You're going to feel a little weird. And as they started cranking me back up to get used to sitting up, I started getting sick because the blood just rushed from my head.
Oh, wow.
And this the therapist yelled for another therapist to bring over one of those things for me to get sick in, those little bucket things. And as I'm sitting there, I'm jaundiced, I'm 130 pounds, I'm frail, I'm sick, I'm getting sick in this bucket, and I'm looking at this therapist, and I'm thinking, wow, you are hot. And that was my turning point to make me feel, I felt like a man again.
Amen.
I felt more alive. I felt, okay, there is something. Well, that therapist that helped me that day, we were engaged 6 months later, and within a year we were married.
Mm.
And she fell in love with a man who had nothing, still in the hospital, had no immediate career in front of him, but yet she fell in love with the man, and that was my turning point.
Mm. That's amazing. And during that, could you see now, looking back after when you received the Lord at 40, could you see how God placed her there for you and how He used her to get you where you are today?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It was all, and, you know, we read about this all the time. Our lives were planned out for us before we were even born.
Absolutely.
And that was all planned. That was all planned for me to go through and to find and accept up even more now. It's all there.
Amen. Tell us about when you decided to come to the Lord. When you said, okay, that's enough. I've been missing this for 17 years, more than that, but for the last 17 years, and he saved me from a horrendous accident, and now I need to give to him. How did you come to the Lord?
You know, I got involved in a lot of activities after I got better. I was in that whole mode of, okay, now that I have no legs, what can I do instead of what I can't do?
Amen.
So I just started trying different new things, and, you know, I took up hunting again, and downhill skiing, I kayak, I bike, I mean, I could do all these things. I started helping this organization, taking out disabled hunters on hunting trips. And we were in New Mexico filming a antelope hunt. And after the hunt, this tall, lanky man came up to me and asked me what we're doing. I explained the program about what we do with disabled kids and disabled veterans. We take them on hunting trips all over the country. And he said, you know what? He said, I think that's a great idea. He says, I've got 3,000 acres in Kansas. I think I'd like to have somebody come out. And now, if you're a deer hunter and somebody tells you that they want you to hunt on 3,000 acres in Kansas, you just found the holy grail of hunting is what you found. So I am very excited. Can't wait to get there. And so we scheduled the trip. That following year, six of us went out. We had a great time. Everybody was successful. And it was Saturday night. I'm getting ready to leave. And Doug, the owner of the property, came up to me and says, hey, so we're going to church this morning. We'd love for you to go with us before you head back home. And being the man I was back then, I thought to myself, oh, darn, I don't want to go to church. I came here to hunt, not to go to church. But out of respect for Doug and his family, I said, yeah. I said, I'll go to church with you before I head home. Now, picture this. It's Kansas. Dirt roads everywhere, flat. And at the end of this road is this white church, little thing with a tall steeple. I was like, somehow Norman Rockwell. And I walked in that church, and these people that I don't even know are hugging me, shaking my hand, thanking me for coming that day, inviting me to lunch. I sat down in the pew and just, I felt different. I didn't know what it was. I just felt different. And I left that day feeling strange.
Hmm.
11 hours of driving home, I thought about this little church in Kansas. 11 hours, I thought about it. I got home. And I told my wife that I went to church. And, of course, she looked at me like I was, you know, what the heck happened to you that you went to church?
Well, she knew you, Cam.
she knows. She knew her man. And so we're talking, and she said, you know, and my wife, she's always been to church. She grew up in that, mm-hmm. that household. So she said, you know, I'm looking for a new church. And I went to one while you're gone, and I really like it. Would you like to go with me? And now I'm back to, oh, darn, what did I just say? I just told my wife I like church, you know? I'm like, okay.
There goes your Sundays.
Yeah, I should just get my mouth shut. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to church with you Sunday. And I'll tell you what, that was my moment.
Hmm.
I got into that church. Same thing, these people I don't even know, never seen before in my life, are welcoming me to church, shaking my hand. I sat in that pew. I made sure to sit in the back because I felt kind of strange still being there, you know?
Yeah.
But I sat in that pew. My wife's next to me. And it's like Pastor Bill was speaking to me that day and everybody else left.
Mm.
And I just started breaking down crying. And I'm getting choked up now. Sorry.
No, that's a good. That's good.
I just started breaking down, and because I forget what he was preaching to me, but I know, I remember the theme. He was talking about how lives have changed, how we are infants, and we need to grow in Christ, and I just lost it. So here I am, grown man. I'm trying to fight back all those tears from my wife because I don't want her to see her husband crying. But that was it. That was it. It just came over me. It overwhelmed me. I just felt it. That was the day.
Amen. Amen. We got a couple of minutes left here, Cam. Can you tell everybody what to expect in the book here?
You know, the book basically chronicles everything I've been through. For years, I've been telling my story. People say, "Oh my gosh, that should be a book." And I finally sat down and did it after, you know, I'm 50 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
So 27 years, I finally wrote down everything that I've been feeling. And it takes you from a troubled childhood through abuse, through fighting drugs and alcohol, to finding the woman in my life, raising children, fighting adversity for 27 years. And I want people to know that although you're fighting it, it's God's there with you every step of the way. Don't be like me and deny it.
Mm.
Let him in. Let him into your heart, and he will guide you where he needs you to go.
Amen.
That's my book. I want everybody to kind of see that life's not over just because you think it's over.
Amen. And where can they pick up your book at?
Yeah, it's available online everywhere that I've seen so far. It's in select bookstores locally. I don't know about the bookstores exactly where they're at, but you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I've seen on Walmart.com, ChristianBooks.com. If you Google Dead 13 times, you'll find the book.
Hey, man. Do you have any websites you'd like to give the audience?
Well, check us out. I volunteer for an organization called The Way Outfitters. We take out disabled kids and disabled veterans on hunts. It's thewayoutfitters.com. We are a faith-based organization. We do hunting trips, fishing trips, outdoor adventures. It's kind of our thing. So, yeah, check us out.
Amen. And your Facebook is facebook.com/cam.tribulate for them to get a hold of you and be a part of what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, brother, thank you for being a part of the broadcast, and we really, really appreciate you, and hopefully just some great things continue to happen for you and your family.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, God bless. I'll give you a call back in a few minutes.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. Amen. That was Mr. Cam Tribulate, and I got his name down correctly now. that was a great segment. What would you do? I mean, this happened to him at a young age. 17 years went by, and then he received the Lord. But the whole time, God has his hand on him, and grace. I've been talking about this in my book, talked about this in a sermon that I'm preaching this next Sunday as well. And that is that God can touch anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter where his faith is. It doesn't matter if he has faith or she has faith. God is God, and he can have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. I think that's a great way to end the show. Thanks again, Cam Tribulate, for being a part of the broadcast. Please get his book, Dead 13 Times. Visit WhitakerHouse.com for more details on it. You can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever your favorite Christian bookstore is. Please visit them. We need to keep them running. They continue being a blessing to the communities and stuff. Anyway, email me, David@RevMediaNetwork.com. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. God bless. We love you. Write me, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325, and pray for the things that we're doing here. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.